We begin our worship with the call to worship from Isaiah 53 in Hebrews 4, found on the first page or second page of your bulletin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, graciously behold this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 13 through chapter 53, verse 12, and this can be found on page 1145 in the Pew Bible. Isaiah 52, 13 through 53, 12. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not even open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We will read Psalm 22 together responsibly. It's printed in your bulletin. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish?
My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises.
In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted in you to deliver them.
To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. All who see me mock me, and they hurl insults, shaking their heads.
He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in us.
Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast.
From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God.
Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help.
Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me.
Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax, it has melted within me.
My mouth is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death.
Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet.
All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me.
They divide my clothes among them, casting lots on my garment.
But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me.
Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the gods.
Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen.
I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you, declaring to a people yet unborn, He has done it.
Something happened, sorry. Thank you. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, He has done it. The next reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16, and chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, and this can be found on page 1866 in the Pew Bible. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, 5, 7 through 9. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Will you please stand if you're able? The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our gospel is from John chapter 19, verses 17 through 30, and can be found on page 1684 of your Pew Bible. John records, carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him. And with him, two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, Do not write the king of the Jews, but this man claimed to be king of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Now near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple he said, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, and they put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this coming Sunday will be Easter. And, excuse me, there is no grief or mourning in the lessons of Easter. This Sunday is about our redemption. The focus has nothing to do with us and everything to do with Jesus. But even when it is about Jesus, the truth is it really is about us as well. All that Jesus has done, he's done for us, for you and for me. We are accustomed to hearing about the cross and the soldiers and the beatings and such. And in our psalm reading tonight, here we have depicted for us the confrontation of our Lord with his adversary, the devil. Jesus is not simply bearing the pains of the crucifixion, although one would hardly describe the agonies of the cross with the word simply. Jesus is also bearing the wrath of God, as depicted in the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know that he is dealing with the constant assault of the devil. We do not hear about the devil directly in the scriptural accounts of the crucifixion, but we know that he's there. We can see Satan in and through the monstrous conduct of the men who surround Jesus. They delight in mocking an innocent man. They take pleasure in beating the helpless. There is no crime of which Jesus is guilty, and they don't care. He's going to be crucified, and that is all that they need to know. They are perfectly at ease torturing a man who is going to die shortly anyhow. The devil was surely delighting in being able to strike at God so directly, so very, very personally. Our commentators tell us that the lion is a reference to the devil. And I believe they're correct. I do. We know that Jesus had to wrestle not just with the awful physical realities of the crucifixion, but you can be sure that the devil was there, clearly seen by Jesus as he taunted Jesus, as he heaped on his own scorn and derision on Jesus. Suddenly he tried to entice Jesus to use his power and exercise divine authority to ease his pains or end the torments of the cross altogether. One can well imagine that since the devil came to Jesus after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and tried to entice him to use his power to feed himself, he was surely there on Calvary to tempt Jesus with the easy way out, the quick end to the torments, or to cast the whole project aside in the face of such enormous suffering. He may have even tempted Jesus to strike out at those who caused him such enormous torment. We hear the call for deliverance from Christ, and we understand why he cries out to the Father as the men, the human beings directed by Satan, inflicted such torment on Jesus throughout the Passion. The men were unreasoning, and they were too powerful to be resisted or overcome unless Jesus gave in to the temptations to exercise his divine power to set himself free, which thankfully he did not do. The call of our Lord is for God to sustain him and finally rescue him from the agonies of the cross. The battle that Jesus fought on the cross and in the Passion was only partially visible to the naked eye. We need to go to the Psalm of the Crucifixion to understand that Jesus bore more than just the pains of the nails through his hands and his feet, as awful as that must have been, and the physical and emotional rigors of the Passion. He endured being separated from God, which is the fundamental torment of hell, separation from God. He bore our sins, and because of them, he who is God was forsaken by God. It must have been a tearing of his psyche, an emotional burden, a spiritual agony that was laid on top of all the physical torment that the typical Passion narratives describe for us. He bore the shame. He bore the guilt and the wrath of God. And he bore it all without the Father or the Spirit with him to give him strength and encouragement. And yet, he was still God, the Son. The mind reels at this. I cannot calculate it. I can't figure it out. Then, to all this, we add, in the tempting and the mocking by the devil. Surely there were threats that this agony was going to go on forever. They were thrown at Jesus while he was suffering his estrangement from God. He was offered every terror we might be able to imagine. We know from the accounts in the Gospels that Jesus felt them, beginning in Gethsemane, and yet he did not give in to them. He held on to his confidence in God, resolutely in the face of his suffering and in his abandonment. He kept his faith and kept his focus on why he was where he was and who and what he was suffering for you and for me. Now we can see that in his concern for others, like his mother and the malefactor on the cross next to him, who prayed that Jesus would remember him when he came into his kingdom. And we can see in his care that every word of Scripture prophesied about this great work was fulfilled. We are reminded from the psalm that Jesus never lost his faith, even though he suffered such torments according to the detailed plan of God, and even though he endured that abandonment which the first verse of Psalm 22 describes, he continued to call on God. He continued to pray for strength. He continued to look to God for deliverance. He continued as a man to fight the battle of faith and endured because he believed. Yes, you know, he was also God, and he had that strength that you and I do not possess by nature. But we have the same tool that Jesus depended upon. We have faith. And we can endure by grace through faith because we have the Word of God holding out that promise to us. Now, of course, it's not easy. But when you look at the passion of the Lord, it was not easy or comfortable for him either. He succeeded where mankind has failed because he is the Son of God. But he also promises to be with us always, to strengthen us, and to give us the ability to succeed when we rely upon him. We will not have to face our torments, our portion of the cross alone. For Christ is always with us. That's his promise. Tonight, we remember the rigors of Good Friday. Tonight, we remember the passion of our Lord from the point of view of the Son of God facing our old evil foe and crying for deliverance from the hands of mankind and the anguish of his abandonment by God. This is the passion from a point of view which only Christ could have. And he shares it with us through the words of the psalmist. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Save me from the lion's mouth, and deliver me from the horns of the wild oxen. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? In the name of Jesus, amen. This is a bidding prayer for Good Friday, and your response will be amen. Let us pray for the whole Christian church, that our Lord would defend her against all the assaults and temptations of the adversary, and keep her perpetually on the true foundation of Jesus Christ. Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety the works of your mercy, so that your church, spread throughout the nations, may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in true faith and persevere in the confession of your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, let us pray for all the ministers of the word, for all vocations in the church, and for all people of God. Almighty God, by those whose spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayer which we offer before you for all your servants in your holy church, that every member of that same may truly serve you according to your calling through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all of God's people said, let us pray for the catechumens, all who are learning of God's word, that our Lord God would open their hearts and the door of his mercy, that having received the remission of all their sins by the washing of regeneration, that they may be mindful of their baptism and evermore be found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Almighty God and Father, because you always grant growth to your church, increase the faith and understanding of all who study your word, that rejoicing in their new birth by the water of the holy baptism, that they may forever continue in the family of those whom you adopt as your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. O merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all that the might of man, and because you have ordained for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well all the powers that exist in all the nations of the world, we humbly pray you graciously to regard your servants, especially Joseph, our president, and the Congress of the United States, Gavin, our governor, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all of God's children said. Let us pray, our Lord God Almighty, that he will deliver the world from all error, take away disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, and grant health to the sick and a safe journey to all who travel. Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry out to you graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and living God and his only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and gather them into his family, the church. Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into fellowship of your holy church through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Let us pray for peace, that we may come to the knowledge of God's holy word and walk before him as is fitting for Christians. Almighty and everlasting God, King of glory and Lord of heaven and earth, by whose Spirit all things are governed, by whose providence all things are ordered, the God of peace, the author of all concord, grant us, we implore you, your heavenly peace and the concord that we may serve you in true fear to the praise of your glory, of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people said. Let us pray for our enemies, that God would remember them in mercy and graciously grant them such things as are both needful for them and profitable for their salvation. O Almighty, everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led to true repentance and may have the same love and be of one accord and one mind and heart with us and with your whole Christian church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's children said, let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down his blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to his own good will. O Lord, Father Almighty, by your word you created and you continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his dwelling in our hearts, we may by your grace be made ready to receive your blessings on all the fruits of the earth and whatsoever pertains to our bodily need, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's children said. And finally, Father, let us pray for those things for which our Lord would have us ask, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.